Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
One of our favorite guests that we talk to, especially during baseball season, is Jason Hayward. Always open with his time, always candid, and loves this city. And with the changes with the Cubs organization, we thought it'd be a great time to have Jay Hay on. Jason Hayward joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Jason, how are you feeling today?
Oh, I feel great, but I don't know. The Corona Hotline, man.
Corona beer.
I mean, as long as we can make it a positive spin,
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm doing well. How you doing today, guys?
We're doing well. What do you have planned for Thanksgiving? Will it be a little bit different this year than in previous years?
It will be different, but it'll be something simple. Fiance is going to cook for us at the house. My brother's in town. We're just going to hang and kick it. We'll probably do a good bit of FaceTiming. I'm sure like a lot of people, you know, around the country, and we'll try to keep up virtually and just be grateful we got a moment to sit down and spend some time.
Jason, looking back at the 2020 season, is there any real easy way to describe what the experience was like?
It was hard. It was a hard season. It was a hard experience. I've told a few people this, but I remember about a week after coming home from the season, just laying in bed and waking up and telling my fiance, I'm like, look, that was actually hard as hell to do. It was a lot of fun getting to play a game we love, a game I've been able to play since I was 5 years old. The fact that we still got to do that, still got to play that in major league stadiums, and I guess not to let a lot of people's hard work and dedication go to waste, but it was definitely a hard season.
Jay, hey, what was the hardest part? Was it no fans in the stands and getting up for each and every game? Was it constant testing? Like, if you could pick one thing that made this year stand out differently to make it the hardest?
Yeah, as stepping into your arena, yes, not having fans was definitely hard. But I wouldn't say because of necessarily getting up. I mean, I get it. You need adrenaline and whatnot. But once we stepped out there into the stadium, you know, we had our adrenaline. We knew we wanted to go compete. Wrigley Field, there's no place like it with fans and the day game. So I missed that aspect tremendously. But the human side of it was just being so afraid to be the one that got a bunch of people sick. You know, being so afraid to go be around family members, to have, I mean, basically no life essentially away from, you know, going to work and going to play baseball. And I get it. That was the state of the country. And at that time, you know, much so around the world, but I think just being paranoid, and kind of bringing that paranoia onto the ones closest to us, because we knew that they couldn't mess up for us to not mess up. And if we messed up, then that could mess up a lot of people. So I think that was the toughest part, of just being afraid.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, you know, we spent a lot of time complimenting the entire organization, you guys and those involved, for running such a disciplined approach to this, as difficult as it was. And I was just going to ask you if you felt apprehensive or you were fearful that you were going to get sick yourself. But it sounds like it was more about you didn't want to be the person that inadvertently caused a problem.
Right. Everyone with the Cubs organization did an outstanding job just showing up, not complaining. Obviously, this is hard. Obviously, everyone's going through something. But you know, you have people that already obviously work for less money than we do as players, and they're working for that much less money. People losing jobs. You got people volunteering to do things that they hadn't, you know, ever thought they would be doing when they took a certain job in the front office or or working a part of this organization. Training staff, there's a bunch of people, there's a bunch of names that I can say thank you to. I appreciate it. But, yeah, man, it was hard for everyone, and it was hard to watch people go through that.
Yeah.
And from the baseball side specifically, it was hard for me, and sometimes it got emotional watching. I remember my opening day in Atlanta at 20 years old, Braves versus Cubs, seeing a packed house, sold out, the pageantry, Hall of Famers being involved. And, this year for us, I see rookies and guys having their first opening day with a locker down the hallway, right? And the locker in the middle of the clubhouse. So not the same vibes and not the same treat that we've all grown accustomed to, the guys that have been a part of baseball for a while.
Jason Hayward joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. It's really weird, J.A., because there are a lot of people who had tough years this year statistically. And a lot of analysts just say, well, it was the 60-game sprint. It was COVID. Just throw that in the garbage. But there are guys like you, guys like Darvish, guys like Hap, who had really good years. Is there a rhyme or reason for why some guys had really good years during this and other guys hit well below what they normally hit?
Well, I think timing is everything. And when I say that, I mean, 60-game sprint definitely has something to do with it, because you're not allowed to, come down from, your hot streak necessarily. I mean, you are allowed it, but, I feel like when you start the season off the way I started, the way Ian started, in a regular season, could that, progressively get worse over time? It could, but I would say with the at-bats that he and I were having, even when you do hit a slump, I feel like throughout the period of a regular season, there was a good base and a good starting point there. And I say all this from just, playing baseball for the last 11 years at this level. But when it comes to the guys that, did struggle and did have, I guess we could say, a down 2 months or a down 60 games, they weren't really given the chance to come up out of the slump. It's going to happen. The game adjusts to you. These guys we're talking about, have done a lot in this game. Some even more than others. We talk about MVP, Rookie of the Year. You talk about Riz. You look at the back of his baseball card. I mean, this guy is who he is. But I just feel like they didn't have the time to get more consistent. I don't think they had the time to adjust. So when you say, is it fair? No, it's not fair. Life's not fair, and none of them are going to make excuses for it. But I think the reality is, if we have a full season, you would see some guys have different numbers, and you would see some guys, or I guess you would get to see the bulk of their contributions, because to me, the bottom line is we did win a very tough division, and that's a reality in itself. So regardless of the downfalls and the shortcomings of all of us, these guys still went out there and got it done for us, and we were able to win our division.
Jason, big news last week, obviously, was Theo Epstein stepping away from the organization. Your thoughts on Theo overall?
My thoughts on Theo overall is this man handles everything with class. He wears his heart on his sleeves, and he cares deeply for everyone that he asked to work for him and to step into that foxhole with him on a daily basis. So, to me, this is another move that goes right in line with that. Theo is, what he tells you is going to happens, and he means it from the bottom of his heart, and there's a reason he's had so much success in and around the game of baseball.
Were you surprised when you got the news?
Surprised. I mean, I don't think I was expecting a text to say that from him. Maybe something else, right? On I don't know. You can pick a number of things that I wouldn't guess, but I wouldn't say that I would have thought that would have been the case. But just hearing his explanation, again, it goes back to his class of him not wanting to be sitting over Jed's shoulders and people in the front office knowing that he wasn't going to return. The following year after the 2021 season, and I feel like for him, knowing that there are going to be moves made, knowing that he's not going to, I guess, be here for the long haul of what's next to come. He didn't want to be taking an unfair advantage seat, right, and looking over someone's shoulder saying, "Hey, I know what they're planning over here." If and when he does take his next job, he doesn't want to have that unfair advantage. So again, I think there's so much respect in that move. I think he thins things out pretty well. He's going to enjoy the time he has with his family, stepping away from the game. I know he mentioned a number of charities and nonprofits he wanted to be a part of, and I think he's going to enjoy that aspect and preparing for whatever's next to come.
Based on what you just said, Jason, are you expecting significant change on your guys' roster?
I mean, I expect the business side to be the business side.
Right.
That is unpredictable. What can happen will happen, and what can't happen won't, right? You can talk about wanting to make moves to your roster, or maybe wanting to trade, or maybe even wanting to extend people or sign a free agent, whether it's someone coming from outside the organization or people already here. You can talk about all the things you want to do, but you got to see what the market is. You got to see what's available. And I think that, if anything, is kind of being held over everyone's head with the kind of season we just had as far as COVID. Finances are looking uncertain to a certain extent. And I don't say that as far as giving out money and not giving out money. I just think people want to know and organizations want to know how much. But just to answer that question, as far as the Cubs organization, I think they know they need to make some changes, and that's typically what happens when guys come into the last year of their contracts, right? You see some people either say, we're going to try and have someone long-term, or we're going to try and get the best value for them and the franchise. So Jed has his hands full. Whoever's in charge has their hands full with this roster, and that's, I mean, to be honest, that's a good thing to have happen. You got a lot of guys who have a lot of value, done a lot of special things. And he's going to have to make some choices soon, but it's all going to come down to who's out there available and willing to make moves.
Jason Hayward joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. When you talked about signing here, you always cited the young core, that you were 26. You wanted to be with this core, to grow with this core. A lot of these guys who are your brothers, like you just were referring to, could be gone. That's not jarring at all?
I mean, it's a tough reality. It is a tough reality because, at some point, again, the business will be the business side of it. We don't get to play things out forever as we wish. But I wish them the best. I think, to be honest, whoever does move on, if and when that happens, I think that's going to be a good thing for them. I think they're going to have new experiences. They're going to be able to establish themselves even more in the game of baseball and for their families as well when it comes down to financial and even other opportunities to go play for other winning organizations. I speak highly of all of them, and I think the world of all of them. So for me, it is bittersweet, but if anything, I'm just happy for their growth.
Do you feel that the team, you mentioned Jed, is the team still in great hands with Jed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it doesn't all fall I don't want to say it doesn't all fall on him. We all have to take responsibility for our actions and what we have going on. He has been here every step of the way to be a part of all the positive things that Chicago and Cubs fans have been able to experience the past few years. And I think he has the right mindset and the right approach to know how to move going forward because he was here for that. I think he said it in his press conference in the past couple of days, in the interviews he's done, he needs to be himself. He has to be himself, and I think that's real. I think that's the only way you can have that approach when it comes down to being in his position. But again, he's been here to see all these things happen. He already has certain guys in place as it is that are a part of this franchise. If you're talking about making moves and maybe trading away some people, or you're talking about trying to sign some people or whatever, extend some people, he's doing it from a very awesome place to work, and I know he takes a lot of pride in it.
Jason, have you and the rest of the players in the league been given any insight as to what the schedule for 2021 is? Will you guys go to spring training as would be normal, or have they not made a lot of those decisions yet?
I would just say it's only fair to it's only fair to be ready for whatever happens, because we were in spring training this past year, and of course no one was expecting to be shut down, and then after that there was so much uncertainty. No one knew when and if we would get started. So I think the reality is, of course, as players, prepare like there is going to be everything on time, but just be ready for whatever, because there are so many things out of our control. I think we hope to have obviously it goes without saying, hope to have fans back in the stadiums, hope to see people out there and enjoying the environments again, and hopefully everything happens on time. But most importantly, we hope everyone's safe.
Jay, hey, before we let you go, as we started the interview, we talked about Thanksgiving. 2020 has been very turbulent. There's been a lot. We've talked to you about off the field stuff, too. What are you most thankful for heading into the holiday?
I'm thankful to have another moment. I'm thankful to have time, family, friends. I think this year has really made everyone appreciate the things that they can control, the things that they do have, and not so much focus on what we don't. And again, I'm just thankful to have, you know, these moments to sit down and, you know, spend some time with my dogs, fiance, brother, parents, all these things over the year that it wasn't easy to do, but now, you know, trying to make the most of that. So that's what I got, fellas.
What's the one thing you have to have on your plate Thursday?
The one thing I have to have on my plate Thursday. I'm a big honey glazed ham for the holidays. So if I had that on my plate, then I can make anything else work.
I'm the same way. I love turkey as well, but if you gave me a honey baked ham instead of a turkey, I'd be just fine.
Yeah, I'd be A-okay with that. Maybe a little, cranberry sauce. My fiance is going to hook it up. I already know she's going to try it for my grandmother's sweet potato casserole souffle with, like, the marshmallows, all that stuff. So we're in good hands.
I was just going to say, but that's pressure, isn't it, for the fiance to actually recreate what grandma could do?
No, she has zero pressure because, I mean, she can sell the stuff she cooks. So I'm not even concerned. I'm just looking forward to it. And that's another thing to add to the list of things to be grateful for. She is a great cook.
Well said.
That's awesome.
That is
Jay, enjoy the holiday. Thanks for everything this year, and we'll catch up in the spring, okay?
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
There you go. Jason Hayward. We love the relationship we have with him.
He's great.
A lot of good stuff on and what it was like dealing with COVID, what the news was like getting it from Theo. A different perspective about, too, knowing what the Cubs would do and him going to another team as well. I heard something this morning, of course. I mean, every morning I wake up and I say, I heard something on the morning show that just made me say, what? I heard something else. And it had to do with Thanksgiving Day foods. I want to bring that to our table coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Couple of housekeeping notes before we get to the Thanksgiving meal conversation. We did not give away the Great Clips gift card after we announced that Richard Dent was number six. Go to ESPN Chicago's Instagram page for the recap. It's make sure you follow us too, ESPN underscore Chicago.
Yeah, come on now.
Caller 20 right now at 312-332-3776 wins a $50 Great Clips gift card. Great partners at Great Clips, taking all the precautions that you need to take these days. Waddle's been talking about them for years. Great Clips.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely. And then don't forget, it's also going to be great for Would You Rather. We haven't done Would You Rather in a while.
I love Would You Rather.
Little over an hour away. Send us your Would You Rather entries. We'll give away a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. What you need to do is you need to tweet us, WS Would You Rather, hashtag WS Would You Rather. Send them to Black, at Chris Black. He'll read all the best ones. Coming up, it's the best either or question. And make us think, make them creative, and send those via Twitter. You can also take part in the chat on Twitch.
Twitch.
In live and real time. I'll catch those. Welcome to everyone in the Twitch channel. I checked in a couple of times. We have not mentioned them today.
Everybody behaving in there?
I thought so, yes. Yeah. When I looked the first time, they were behaving, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think they have.
Any nonsense
today?
Going on more
There's
than
always
normal?
Nonsense. There's some nonsense.
Yeah.
So twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. What's great about it, you can watch Waddle in the First Midwest Bank studio. You can react via the chat room. That's what's cool about it. And you can meet other listeners of the Waddle and Sylvie show. So watch and listen and react.
It's nice.
All the things you want to do.
Thankful for them.
So again, I tune in. You know, it's just, it's a matter of the level of crazy and what's going to go on Cap and Hoodie. You know, you tune in, you know you're going to hear a take that's off the charts weird. And
you
and
caught yourself there.
What?
You were going to say a different word.
I was going to say stupid.
Yeah.
And then sounded, I changed it to weird.
Yeah, you changed it to weird. Waddle, did you catch that?
You're so right. You know my mind now, Black. You heard me. I did catch myself there.
But you really didn't, because you just, you know, Black pointed it out and you copped to it.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you can blame me for that one.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I even texted the guys. So they did the draft, okay? They were doing a draft today with the draft your favorite Thanksgiving Day food. Okay? So the key here was you just couldn't draft turkey. Like, you had to specify, okay? You could take the white meat. You could take the dark meat. You could take the drumstick. You know, all the different sides, all the different features, you
so
know?
So I had to choose the portion of the bird that I wanted most?
Well, this way there was more turkey to go around for everybody. Like I do usually go for the white meat. That's what I usually go for. Like, I know my uncle, whenever we have Thanksgiving, he grabs that drumstick. He wants to make sure he gets the drumstick. Some people think the white meat's a little dry. So this is like...
Drumstick it's never consistent. Like, it's a wild card. It's the wild card of the bird, I think.
See, there you go. Now you're talking about this, you know? And a lot of people think that the dark meat's the most flavorful. So this is the thing. You would say you want the ham, just like Jay
Hay
said.
Yeah, I'm a Jay Hay. I'm a honey-baked ham guy.
But the key is, just like any draft... You want to draft what you think the other people are going to draft early.
So don't tell me. Cap traded away all his picks like Pace did for something that is completely tasteless.
You're close. He didn't trade them away. He did make a trade late. But he basically arranged a meal from Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Which is great,
but this was Thanksgiving. Like, his first round pick, I think, was like a New York strip steak. New York strip. Like, again, like...
Nothing says Thanksgiving like a good New York strip steak.
Okay, if we're playing this game, if we're playing the game that Cap's playing, and then he drafted shrimp cocktail later.
Sure.
Like, okay, well, then
How about the lobster mac and cheese?
We're right. I'm going to draft the lobster tail. And while we're at it, and while we're making crap up, I'm going to draft the dessert with my first overall pick... The chocolate cake that comes filled with $100,000 inside the cake.
Yes, there you go.
You know, like, that's my first round pick.
I would say the first rule is don't F with Sylvie's Thanksgiving concept. Well, like, you can have fun at the expense of other holidays, but don't make light of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you're either going to draft Thanksgiving stuff, or you're just going to make it I'll draft pizza then. What? I got pizza, and it comes with a briefcase full of $1 million. That's my first pick.
Gold bullion.
Yeah, fine.
How about a private jet?
Yeah. You know what?
I got hamburgers.
A hot dog that's a private jet.
Yes, take that. Yeah, the Wienermo jet.
Excuse me?
The Wienermo jet. Instead of the Wienermobile, the Wienermo jet.
It's like a wiener with wings.
Yep. Yeah. So okay. Twitch can see. Do what you just
Greg
did again.
Norman is the pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That was going around Twitter yesterday, right?
I was trying to go to sleep last night. It had to be 11 o'clock, 11:15 at night. I'm an old guy. I'm falling asleep. And I hear my wife just scream, "Holy blank!" And she looks at me and goes, "How old is Greg Norman?" I go, "I don't know." She wanted to know how old he was. I was like, "I don't know, but how's that pertain to the conversation?" I was just like, "Good night, I'll talk to you."
There was a picture going around Twitter yesterday of Greg Norman on the beach, right? Wasn't he walking his dog?
Yes, yeah.
He was walking more than his dog.
I didn't see this photo. You guys have to describe it for me.
And the best caption was, I could sum it up with one word, okay? Yeah. Hey, what's his nickname?
The shark.
The great white shark, right?
The shark, right? And someone said hammerhead shark. That's the best way to describe it.
I would say, what are you doing with a one iron on the beach?
Oh, whoa, what is this?
I mean, that would be a better say. Don't bring your clubs to the beach, Shark.
Do you just get out of the water? I mean, what?
Well, you'd sound like he could leave his club home.
Yeah, but that's why you have a golf bag for the club.
How old is Greg Norman? I don't know.
Does
really
age
don't.
Really matter,
That's
though, in this conversation?
That's what my question was.
It might.
That was what I was like. Well, what does that matter?
Wow.
So, like, back to the cap thing, like, he's drafting all these crazy things. It's like, yeah, well, I'm going to draft the hamburger inside the private jet. Like, okay, we all know New York Strip is great. We all know shrimp cocktail is great. We're playing the game, draft a Thanksgiving entree or meal item.
Sylvia, I feel your pain because as someone who used to work cap and company every day, you're suggesting a captain get the bit. Is that what you're suggesting
here?
It was
his bit.
He was malfunctioning.
He's not
from our planet. Like, he doesn't get that Thanksgiving draft is about Thanksgiving.
Whose
day
idea
food.
Was it? Was it
I
his?
Don't know.
It was his idea, yes.
No, that's
wasn't.
My point.
Really?
That's
so
what they said
he was
it was.
Just trying to be funny about it.
And it was the weirdest thing. And the guys, JR, Danny and Mellor Routes, JR and Tyler were drafting great stuff. Hoodie was drafting great stuff. And he went like shrimp steak cocktail. Bloody Mary. And you know me, I love the Bloody Mary too, but let's go. We're playing the Thanksgiving game.
Like I said, don't mess with the – do not get goofy with Thanksgiving in Sylvie's presence.
I agree with Sylvie. That's wrong.
You're either going to play the game or you're not going to play the game. You're either going to do it. What's your favorite winter pastime? Well,
on the beach.
Going to the beach, yes, exactly. Well, but I'm in Miami, and I'm down at the beach, and it's
I'm walking
summer.
On the other side of the beach from the shark.
Come on, play the kid, the shark. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We got Waddle's World next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Yes, Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Before we get weird, let's get serious for a minute. A story that is meaningful to me because it's about a former teammate of mine, somebody I've always admired and appreciated and have the utmost respect for. Cowboys strength coach Marcus Paul rushed to the hospital this morning. Paul experienced a medical emergency at the facility where he was immediately treated by Cowboys medical personnel before being transported to a hospital. The team cited his family in an update that said Paul was undergoing further medical tests. Additional information on the 54-year-old's condition will be made available at the appropriate time, his family told the organization. The Cowboys canceled practice and all coach and player availabilities earlier in the day. I got some news of this earlier in the morning. I was told it was a very serious situation. I think there were some outlets that reported that the situation was beyond dire. I believe that's been walked back as I read this. I can tell you this. Marcus and I were teammates. He was a fantastic football player, a great teammate, and a Hall of Fame human being. And my prayers to his family, to Marcus Paul. He's been with the I believe the New England Patriots, the New York Giants. I believe he's won 5 Super Bowl rings as a strength coach for different organizations. He's been with the Cowboys now, I think, for better than a year or so. One of my favorite teammates of all time, universally loved by everybody. Good player. We called him the Greyhound. He was long and lean and could move. Was a safety. And Sylvie, I'm sure you were covering those teams. You knew Marcus.
No.
I came later.
Okay. Yeah. I came a little bit later, but I remember obviously Marcus Paul. What made him that Hall of Fame human being?
He was just the most sincere, nicest guy in the world, thought of others before him, just was a selfless and has always been a selfless teammate, universally loved by everybody, wherever he was, as a teammate and as a member of the different staffs, whether he was in New England. He was with the Giants, as I said, for a while, and now he's with the Dallas Cowboys. So my thoughts are with him and his family, and he's one of the good guys. He's a special guy.
It was weird to read the tweet because the tweet did stand out to me because the way they originally phrased it was that the Cowboys had canceled practice for a medical issue that was non-COVID related.
Yeah.
And that made it seem urgent, and no one knew, like, if it was a player or a coach. I think they phrased it maybe a staff member.
Right.
And then you texted me that it was Marcus Paul.
Yeah.
And hopefully all this that will, you know, that
I think it's still a very, very serious situation. But my best to him and his family for sure. There's other COVID news in the National Football League as well. I believe the Ravens got themselves, they've got a situation going on, more positive COVID tests. Ravens now have 5 players and 4 staffers test positive for the coronavirus this week, according to Shefty. The NFL said in a statement today that the Ravens' Thanksgiving night game against the Steelers is still on as scheduled, but a source warned Shefty that further positive tests could mean postponing the game.
And they haven't had to do that much, right? It was just with... Was it New England's outbreak or was it Tennessee's outbreak? We've had basically Tennessee and New England have the 2 outbreaks.
Was there anything with the Jets? Or the Jets come to mind as well? Maybe that wasn't the case. Maybe they were just a team that was scheduled to play the Bills or somebody, and then it had to be it had to be postponed. But you're right. There haven't been as many significant issues, it seems, as maybe one would have anticipated.
So we'll wonder, like,
that's not that. Listen, the Steelers Ravens game was basically the highlight of football, you know, Thanksgiving football coverage.
Yeah. Well, the two other games are not great. It's what, Texans Detroit and it's Washington Dallas. So, like, this was a really good game. But look, you know that the NFL wouldn't mind an extra playoff team in each conference. They're already adding the 7th team. That 8th seed may be up for grabs, and the Bears could be a part of the hunt.
That is true. That is true. Last night was a very entertaining game. Anything surprise you about what you saw? Because
yes,
Bruce Arians,
yes.
I thought, what surprised you most? Some of the 2 interceptions that Tom Brady threw that were totally non-Brady-like?
Yes. There were 3. Here's what I took away from it. And there are many things with the offense. But I watched 3 games with 3 great quarterbacks over the weekend. Each quarterback was down 3 points, I believe, within the last 2 minutes of the game. Okay? This was Rodgers on Sunday. He moved his team downfield, and they kicked a tying field goal to force overtime. It was Patrick Mahomes Sunday night, and he marched his team down the field, and they won with the game-winning touchdown. And then it was Tom Brady down 3.
Oh, they gave Brady a number of different opportunities.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying that last drive within 2 minutes of the game.
Right.
Where you knew, okay, Rodgers going to go downfield and score. Mahomes going to go downfield and score. And then you say, what's going on there? Why not Brady? And that was the pick? The pick that he threw to end it, basically?
Yeah, and you know that Bruce Arians does not mince words. He had some thoughts of Brady's issues with accuracy on the deep ball, which is obviously a core principle of what they do down in Tampa. And says he's have more to do with confusion he's experiencing with certain coverages than his ability, which to me was a pretty...
selling him out, too. I mean...
This is what he says, quote, "We have Tom calling a lot of his own plays or picking his own on the sidelines from the game plan," Arian said today. "I don't think it's a confidence problem whatsoever. It's not lack of trust. It's lack of continuity within the offense of the whole picture. We've got guys open. We've just missed them. There are times when coverage dictates you go to that guy. I think we can do a better job of utilizing the deep ball in our game plan. But when they're there, we need to hit them. We can't have them going off our fingertips. We can't overthrow them."
So he is completely shining the spotlight on the people who say that they're not calling the right plays for Brady. He came right out today and he said, Brady's picking the plays on the sidelines.
Right. He basically said, take that.
Greg McElroy twice today on Get Up made fun of the Bears in an indirect way.
Did he? What did he say?
He said they were breaking down the Monday Night Football highlights, and they said what the Bucs did in the third quarter. He checked the TV guide twice to make sure that he wasn't watching the Bears in a different uniform.
Oh, wow.
He said the offense for them in the third quarter was so bad, he thought he was watching the Chicago Bears. Even when they're doing highlights on Monday Night Football, when it doesn't include the Bears are still the butt of everyone's offensive jokes.
And it's fair and legitimate. By the way, I like the Rams' kind of off-white, all-white jerseys. Did you like them? I thought they were good.
I didn't note them say to myself, I'm not a good uniform guy. I'm not a good uniform judge.
I thought those uniforms were good as well. I thought it was a good uniform night for
pewter.
Both teams.
You like the pewter?
I like the pewter.
I believe the Rams jerseys that you're looking at there, I think that's called bone.
Is that what it is?
I think they call it bone.
I thought it was good. Did you like it?
Yeah, I like their uniforms. Yeah. Listen, it's not for my favorite team. Like, I don't want the Bears rolling out in uniforms like the Rams have. Like, they're flashy and new-looking like that. I want the traditional uniforms for the Chicago Bears. But I think they're cool for them.
Everyone gets really, like, physically excited for the Chargers uniforms.
Those are good. Powder blue is great in everything. That's my favorite color, probably.
Is it?
And the yellow pops.
Do you choose to wear powder blue when you get a chance?
Yes. Okay. And the Cubs' old-school uniforms from the 70s I wish they would use more is the old powder blue pinstripe uniform.
Really? I think
with Bill Buckner on the back. Yurko's a big fan of that, too. Peyton, do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
What's your favorite uniform, Waddle?
Of all time?
Ever.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
Any team, anything?
I think the Chargers old school unis.
Pretty good, right?
Right.
Sylvie, what's your favorite uniform?
I think the Hawks. And Waddle's going to say that I'm just patronizing
the hockey fans. You are.
How do you go against
Blackhawks hockey fans?
That's pretty good. Pretty good. It's a good one.
By the way, your guy,
what's
Peyton.
What's yours, Black?
Oh,
UIC away jerseys.
No, I mean, I think it's no. I think, well, shout out to the Flames.
Yeah, of course.
I would say it's tough to get past the Michigan winged helmet. That's a hell of a helmet.
But you know what? Everyone does it. Like, a Delaware wears the same helmet.
Yeah, it's phony, though. That's like when you mix up Green Bay and Georgia and you're like, oh, it's the same logo.
But what about the uniform? You're mentioning the helmet now.
Well, the helmet's a part of the uniform. No, not a subcategory. That's a part of the deal.
Okay, the helmet, so you like their whole uniform, too, that goes with the helmet?
It pops. I'm not going to lie. If I had to pick one from college football, though, it'd be Texas.
Are you?
The Texas Whites are the best.
Really?
Absolutely. Really?
Are you a fan of Oregon always changing it up?
Yeah, because it's what they do. It's their gimmick.
That's gimmick. Yeah,
but they're the one team. Like I was saying, the Rams can have these funky new uniforms because it's what they're doing. The Ducks can do what they're doing.
Sylvie, you should get yourself a pair of those powder blue tight swim trunks that Greg Norman wears. That's what they're powder blue. That's
with his ham dog, whatever he's got there.
The old Bull City edition.
He's walking a
powder
dog,
blues.
Right?
He's walking a dog, yeah. He's walking two dogs.
Your guy Peyton Manning, along with Charles Woodson and Calvin Johnson, are among the Hall of Fame semifinalists. Think he'll get in?
It's going to be tight. He may have to wait for that second ballot. By the way, I have a Michael Jordan sort of uniformish story I don't know if you guys caught today.
I did not.
For later.
Okay.
Later in the show.
We'll talk about that later. That's really all the sports roo I have to share with you. When we come back, I will bring you the nuttiest story of the day. Hey, this hour is brought to you by our good friends at ComEd. Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I just spent the last minute or so being verbally harassed by Bleck about the Boston College uniforms.
And he was saying what about them?
Like they're just too plain for him.
Boring. Like a boot.
What is it like? I don't even know what that means.
Like a boring, boot. They look like a boot.
What does like a boot mean?
They're boring.
A boot is boring?
There's no sizzle there.
Like, I think boots can
be
sizzly.
Uniform.
You never worn a pair of cowboy boots that were hot?
No, I haven't. No. Sylvie, you know what I mean. They're just plain looking.
I got out of the uniform critiquing business for Bears 100 when I thought the old school uniform they were wearing was bad, and I got harassed like I've never been harassed before.
Oh, with
on
the Twitter. Stripes?
Yeah. Like and I think there was no C on the helmet. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know what? My uniform tastes not good. I'll talk where I have an opinion.
You
on.
Don't like the half cut jerseys that we used to wear.
No, half cuts are cool. Okay. That's fine. The color is
back
just
in the
boring,
day.
He's had a boring
Sylvie
uniform.
Sylvie was not a fan of those because, like, he didn't like to see the hairy midriff of different players.
It's not that I didn't like it. It was part of my childhood. I'm asking what the motivation was. Who said the football makers? You know what we're going to do this year? We're going to only make the jersey halfway.
We're gonna show some skin. Yeah, some cloth.
I
was a cloth
that.
Shortage.
I loved it. I thought it looked awesome.
I'll tell you this: what it did was, it made it more comfortable. Instead of having to tuck your jersey into your football pants, you didn't have to do any tucking. No tucking.
Yeah, there you go. You don't want to tuck.
You don't want to tuck. There's no tucking.
Sylvie, but he told me, here's the response. He's too modest to say it now on the air. His response was that the sizzle was in the huddle.
That's right.
So they didn't need it on the
We didn't. We weren't worried about how we looked. We didn't worry about how we looked.
I love that. That's a good retort, though.
I mean, like, listen, you want to look good or you want to play well?
Right.
I like to do both, though. I mean.
Well, I know, but, you know.
You know what else was a great uniform? Those creamsicle Buccaneer uniforms. Those are great.
Yeah,
and then
I like those.
Do you remember the old Broncos helmets with the D on it and the horse flying through?
Greg Norman knows about that. I tweeted the picture out, by the way.
I bet you did.
I retweeted someone else. One of our listeners tweeted it out, and I retweeted her because she used a Waddles quote in it, too. Leave your club at home.
Oh, I see.
Leave your clubs at home.
Nicole's getting a retweet. Here we go.
Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey and Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
And it's not the story of Greg Norman walking on the beach wherever he's at.
With his dog.
How old is he? I don't know. I'm not sure.
She's like, forget tennis camp. I'm going to golf camp.
Maybe so. Alleged porch pirate arrested after wearing the exact same shirt to court from his surveillance footage.
What's a porch pirate?
An accused porch pirate has been arrested after wearing the exact same shirt the very next day to a South Carolina courtroom that he had worn to steal packages from people's porches, according to authorities.
Those people are the worst.
You know, like, you're the one that was trumpeting the importance of the Ring doorbell, right?
Sure, yeah.
Series of events began after a picture of a man in a green and red North Face shirt was posted to the Goose Creek resident group on Facebook by somebody claiming he had stolen packages that had been left on porches in the neighborhood. Beware of the porch pirate, the social media post began. This was around noon today in the Oaks. Notice the empty Amazon package in his hand. It is something he stole off a neighbor's porch, threw the empty package in a trash can. And then stole the package off my porch and stuffed it in his backpack. However, problem was, he wore the same shirts to court that he was wearing in the...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's you.
It's not, not me, but it's him. You know?
No, right. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't like porch pirates.
The authorities confirmed...
Leave our packages on our porches.
...that the man had been arrested after appearing in a courtroom... The very next day, wearing the same shirt he had been pictured in while stealing items off of a residential porch.
This happens in the city all the time, too, because of the apartments and people, you know, a lot of times they'll just leave it outside the door of a multiple dwelling, you know.
You can't do that, can you?
We just got an email from the building yesterday saying, if you order a package and it said it arrives, go get it.
Go get it.
Because someone's going to come take it.
Someone's taking it.
Especially in the holiday season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So wrong.
So wrong.
All right, that's it.
All right, Dan Weederer will join us coming up in 2 minutes. Will it be Mitch or Nick? Bears and Packers and big picture thoughts on if big changes will happen. All of it with Dan Weederer in 2 minutes.